And we're live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of Beyond Retro. I'm Nathan Kennedy. I'm joined here with Joe Amato and Tyler Baker. Guys, I hope you're ready for this episode because we got a lot to talk about here.
Yep. We have a lot of child's play to deal with here today.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, a lot of good and bad, huh?
Yeah, but I think I'd like to think that we're going to emphasize more of the good on this podcast because, you know, like with so many horror franchises, there's tons of people in this world who like to take the time to trash all the bad stuff, but we'll get to some of the bad stuff. But I like to think that once we get this conversation going, we'll be emphasizing a lot of the good stuff. And if you don't know, we're talking about the Child's Play franchise, and it's a fun one to dig into because it like so many others has met the same fate as Freddy, Jason. Well, not necessarily Jason, but well, yeah, to a certain extent, yeah.
Some extent, but not the extent of.
Well, yeah, whereas Chucky is a vocal, you know, antagonist, and Michael and Jason are not. The franchises have still met the same fate, where it's played up more for jokes towards the tail end of the series. But, yeah, we're talking about Child's Play here. The most iconic killer doll. There's been plenty of them that are unfortunately still being made today. But Chucky seems to be the one that has captured everyone's hearts, you know, all over the world. People aren't talking about the killer doll from the Goosebumps books. They're not talking about the one that was in Magic with Anthony Hopkins or Twilight Zone or even Annabelle or Deadly Science. They're talking about Chucky.
Yeah. Some of the hardcore horror fans, they might be talking about Puppet Master, you know, with all the little dolls.
Well, I mean, not to say there aren't fans of all those things I just said, but, you know, Chucky, I mean, goes without saying, you know, I think I could walk out here in my neighborhood and ask anybody, you know who Chucky the Killer Doll is? Oh, yeah, yeah. Saw number 2 the other night. You know,
either ask who he is or show a picture and they're going to know. Yeah, he's iconic. Really quick, I just want to say hello to Motu Cave Dweller and JSP. They're in the chat room. Thanks for joining us for this episode. Hope you enjoy it. And so we got some people here, and if they have questions and things are going to pop up, then I'll definitely bring up what they have to say.
Cool.
All right, well, Nathan, did you want to start us off? Your first experience with Child's Play, Chucky, thoughts? What you got?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I think it's funny that, like, this franchise is alive and well today, and we're still waiting. Like, I don't know, like, Nightmare on Elm Street kind of sitting dead in the water. Friday the 13th had that reboot kind of sitting dead in the water, and yet here we are, and Chucky's, like, revitalized again. Maybe not in the best way, and we'll get to that in a minute, but it's just odd to me because as a kid he was kind of the odd man out in terms of the iconic characters. Like, he came into my life around the same time, and there's a story once we start maybe talking about Child's Play 2 that I've kind of mentioned here and there in past episodes, but I'll definitely let that out of the bag. But I don't know. He was just never as – he didn't scare me as much like your Freddy's or your Jason's. Yeah, no, he really didn't. Other than the story that I'm going to tell, he was never one of those ones that kept me up at night. And you would think that he would, given the subject matter. Here's this – killer doll. Like, what kid doesn't have dolls or action figures? What do those things do while you sleep? But no, he never reached that level for me. I don't know about Tyler, because I don't think we've really talked about Chucky a whole lot.
Well, I mean, I will say Chucky's impact on me as a child, I mean, it was definitely there, it was strong, but I think I got over my phobia of Chucky a lot quicker. Whereas Freddy still to this day, just from that first film, still lingers. Not to the extent, I mean, I have a Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3 poster framed in my apartment. I'm not as traumatized as I may let on, but there's still, that first film still gets to me. Whereas Chucky, the first film scared me, and I only saw half of it at my pawpaw's house. And I wouldn't see any more of them until I think maybe it was my brother got part one of VHS when we watched him. Like, this is creepy, but it's still good. And then I think the sequels is what kind of helped soften my thoughts on them, because the sequels are a lot more, even though they're horror, they were not visually as scary as the first film. You know, the way it was shot and stuff like that. I had a lot of fun with part two and three, and I think that's what kind of, same thing with Nightmare on Elm Street. I had to see New Nightmare for me to kind of lax my phobia of Freddy and the sequel. So I think Chucky was probably the first. Well, no, Jason was probably the first one, but Chucky. I'm rambling too much here. I mean, the first film is still creepy to this day. I make no bones about it. There's some great creepy stuff in that first film. Not to say that it's still scares me or anything like that, but it's still a very effective movie. Yeah, I don't think me and Nathan ever really talked about that to a certain extent. I think we talked more about Freddy, back when me and Nathan were really crossing over our interests and talking about that kind of stuff. Joe?
Me? First I was going to say in the chat room, JSP mentioned like a comparison. He said Chucky seemed like he's a warped version of My Buddy. So yeah, I guess you could say that. Everybody.
And I wanted a My Buddy as a kid. I remember when those came out. Yeah.
Yeah, I could imagine if My Buddy was still selling when Child's Play was out. I'm sure there's a lot of people maybe who wouldn't.
Well,
wanted
Child's Play came out in '88. I remember seeing the My Buddy commercials probably in like 1989.
Wow, because you think kids wouldn't even want a My Buddy after seeing Child's Play? Like they just might have freaked out. But no, me. Like I said, all the type of horror movies that I was into, and there was this one thing that used to freak me out as for a doll, because nothing usually creeped me out. I mean, I know they had whatever the Puppet Master movies with all of them different dolls and things. I can't remember the years. I know they made multiple different ones, liked them, but never creeped me. There's one thing that creeped me out before even Chucky. I don't know if you guys remember something called the Trilogy of Terror, and it had three different. Okay, you remember the Zuni doll?
Yeah, yeah.
That, oh my god, that thing just.
I think Nathan would know. Nathan, do you not know what we're talking about?
It's not really ringing a bell for me right now.
I swear you'd recognize the doll if we showed it to you. It's a shame we don't have anything.
Wow, I should have.
Nathan, I'm quite sure Nathan would recognize that doll.
Damn, I should have. Well, maybe later I'll try to get. I have this one thing. It's a squeeze thing that it's not supposed to be the Zuni doll, but it sure looks like they mimicked it, the face and the crazy hair, and when you push the button it makes a psychotic sound. But this Zuni doll had this weird little yell, and he had this knife and these just nasty wicked things, and he freaked me out. So here came Child's Play, and I admit, yes, that was creepy when I first seen it. It was different, because besides Zuni, you weren't seeing many things to where you see such a lighthearted, nice, cute little doll, and then it turns into such a demonic, mean-looking thing. Like, everybody remembers the part when he first came to life in Andy's mother's hand. I mean, that part when he...
Yeah, that was probably... And that's where I think we stopped watching it when I saw it the first time. It was after he attacks her and then he leaves the apartment. I think we had to get up and leave for whatever reason, but that was where I left off, and that was...
That was a doozy. I mean, it was a doozy because, I mean, how it built up, when she's finally wondering, okay, could he be alive? And she looks at the batteries and in their ears, they're gone. He turns around, hi, Chucky, one place. She drops it. I mean, that part just spooked the crap out of me. And he rolls under the, couch. But then when she picked him up again and she wanted to talk and she threatened him to set him on fire, and when he came to life, I admit, that got me. See, and that's what was so appealing about that first Child's Play. And, of course, it led into part two. And part three started getting borderline of the spooky and then too funny. But, damn it, I felt like it experienced what Freddy did. When it hit Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky, and some of the others, like, okay, you hammed it up. I hate it when they take a part of a movie that, just because we're laughing at something, just because we're laughing at that part in the first Child's Play, when the old lady gets off the elevator, looks at, the doll and says, ugly doll, and then Chucky says, fuck you, and everybody.
I love that moment.
It is. It's hilarious, but what do? It's like every other studio, they're like, man, people like that. Hey, maybe we could play off him being a little funnier. And then it's so funny that you're not even watching. It feels like a horror movie anymore. You're going to basically see a comedy horror to where you don't even care. You're not scared. You just want to laugh your ass off at what Chucky's going to say. You want to laugh at what little quip Freddy's going to say in part 4, 5, 6. It's like the fear factor is gone. You know, and that's what I hated, because I missed that. I missed being scared. You know, and I'm not saying this like being a punk, like, oh, Joe, you're scared. No, I mean, you know what I mean. You like that. You like going to a horror movie and having some kind of fear and taking it seriously. I mean, I know some people might say, well, Jesus, Joe, it's a movie about a doll. How serious can be? You know, can it be? No, it's a horror movie. It's supposed to spook you. Could you imagine if your action figure or doll came to life and did what he did? It'd scare the hell out of you. So that's what the first Child's Play did for me, and the second, somewhat third, and then it just was basically kind of downhill. And like I said, we'll talk about the other good parts of movies and everything, and talk about some of the suck parts of others, but man, who didn't love the first Child's Play? It's like you were saying, Tyler, you could go up to any person and say, who's Chucky? They're going to know Chucky. And you could show the picture, and they'll know it's Chucky. That's how I mean, he's iconic, and I hate that he's kind of got that Freddy treatment where it just started getting too silly. But you know, there's people that like it. There are some people say, Joe, I love it. I cracked up. I was laughing my ass off. And if you like it, that's great. But I miss the horror aspect, to be honest. I just miss the really fright factor of how it used to be.
Not to like stand up for the execs, but maybe when you were saying like, oh, they're laughing at that. Maybe in some weird way, they're thinking, oh, we can make this accessible to more people if they realize, oh, he can be funny instead of it being scary all the time, which, I mean, I think it's dumb too, but maybe that's just how they look at things, which is terrible, but...
No, I agree, you're right, and then they probably could then market towards kids, just like Freddy became marketed to kids,
yeah.
Action figures. Now you can buy Chucky because, hey, he's not as scary, he's kind of funny, he's your buddy. And like we said, we have my buddy for that. I don't want Chucky to be my buddy, I want Chucky to scare the piss out of me, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I miss, that's what I miss about the first one, but... Go ahead, Tyler, if you got it.
I mean, I just want to emphasize the creepy moments of that first and why it's so important that these characters not tread so far off the path. And I mean, most of these that we talked about, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street started off, come out of the gates, guns blazing with creepy stuff from beginning to end. First Halloween. First Friday the 13th was the more gorier of the slasher films, which really set it apart from the rest. Texas Chainsaw Massacre from its content. Child's Play was, you know, the first killer doll movie where you're not just relying, I mean, you're actually seeing Chucky move around and interact with people, even though it was limited special effects even for that time, but it was still damn impressive by today's standards too, and you're seeing him do all this, you know, things that you wouldn't be able to see on The Twilight Zone, or you wouldn't be able to see in a lot of these other B-movie, like, there's another Chucky knockoff called Dolly Dearest or something like that. It's like the cover's like a female doll sitting on the floor holding like a razor blade or something like that.
I don't know what that one is, I'll be honest.
Well, yeah, believe me, it's not, yeah. It's, you guys figured you guys would remember this from the VHS stores from back in the day. But, I mean, just from the first kill in the movie where Chucky's been brought home and he's staying home with what Andy calls him Aunt Maggie, and the constant build up while she's sitting there alone, and you're seeing from Chucky's point of view running around the apartment, you see a quick shot of Chucky running behind her and she's thinking it's Andy. The constant build up that this nice lady's just babysitting while the mom's at work trying to work and make,
but when that phone rings when she's there, yeah. when Andy's mom is calling to check, like that's to me, that's an effective jump scare, because we're building yeah. We have that to kind of tease it. And then we still get the payoff.
And by that phone call, it still delays it more, because she still continues to walk around. The TV comes on. She sees the Chucky sitting there in the chair. It's just great build-up. And then you feel bad when he throws that hammer, which is just a play hammer, but it's enough to scare her off, and she falls back and ends up hitting the window and meets such a grizzly, which is on the movie poster. And it makes it such a very creepy-ass movie poster when you see Chucky's eyes above the apartment building. And you see her falling out of the. I mean, it's just a creepy image. But because of who these characters are, that she's a likable character trying to help, but while she's at work, and Annie's, it's just you feel bad for that character when she bites the dust. And You got to give a lot of credit for Tom Holland, the way he directed like Catherine Hicks in the film. I mean, because she does such a great job of, especially that same night when she goes to Andy's room after Maggie's been killed, and she starts telling him that Chucky's a doll, and the music that's playing, and just the intensity in her face that she's scared, she's freaking out that her son is convinced this doll has done it. It just adds to the terror, because as the audience you're watching this, well, we know what happens, obviously, but you feel so bad for Andy and for her, because it's just, it's the tension is so good in that scene when she's confronting Andy about the doll. Oh, it's so good. So creepy.
And it's like you said, that's what you were waiting the whole movie to finally see, especially when it finally does happen, when you see him come to life. Like you said, it's the whole buildup throughout the movie. You're seeing, you know, little steps, little feet, little background things, maybe a little whack of a hammer or something, but you're not seeing Chucky do it. And you know you're just waiting the whole movie. When is he going to do something? Like, you know how the mother is, you know, obviously thinking her son, no, there's no way he's alive. You know, it sounds insane. But when she starts believing it, you're wondering, when's she going to see this? You know, you want to see it. When is she going to see him come to life? And when he does, and then when you start finally seeing him in motion, that makes it even more, like, you know, I guess, impactful. Because, you know, you're waiting the whole movie to finally see this little doll moving, killing, doing something, talking, you know, whatever. That's what was the best part. Every single shot you've seen, you know, like, even like, you know, I think when the cop, you know, the detective guy that was...
Chris Sarandon.
Yeah, when he's like in the cop car, and I think it wasn't it like flipped over or something,
yeah.
And you know he's sitting there looking, trying to see. And you see Chucky running, and Chucky. And I think even when he choked him with whatever the heck he had from the back seat. It's just what a great movie. I can't say it enough that at least it's a movie that you didn't laugh at, except the couple parts where they wanted you to, like the couple little jokes from the, you know, what the old lady said and Chucky back, or maybe I don't know if he had something else to say, but it wasn't about the comedy. That's what made the first one so great. And the little boy Andy, you know, he was a believable little kid. You know, sometimes they get these little child actors in movies to where, you know, the acting feels flat, they don't feel like they're believable. But he seemed like a genuine little happy kid when he'd get the doll, when he was like scared, when he was just telling the truth to his mom, the way he spoke. That was a good little actor. I mean, you got to have a good combination, and everything worked, from the kid to the mother to, well, obviously Chucky. I mean, just everything, the whole story and all the actors, I think, did a great job in that movie. I think that's what just makes, well, I know a lot of people say, well, usually sequels just fall apart and suck. But the first one, it just had the perfect combination of everything. And I wish they could have stuck with that formula,
I also feel like, you know, we've already harped that all these franchises veer off the path because they become slapstick, you know, slipping on banana peels and yuck yuck and things like that. But I mean, obviously, when Nightmare's Made, the first Child's Play, they don't realize what they've got. They're taking this source material so serious, and they don't see it as a joke. And that works in our favor so much. I mean, the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre, there's nothing comical about that first film. Then you see the sequel, and it's taken for a complete 180. I know it's got a huge cult following. I'm aware of that, but I think it's what pissed people off is because they were expecting to see another serious, scary chainsaw movie, and that's not what it was. But with the first Child's Play, I mean, they're taking the idea of this killer doll, I mean, as serious as a heart attack. There's nothing funny, even though people are balking at Andy for thinking that, the constant tension is being built up, you know. I mean, and plus the reveal of Chucky actually in action, like we're seeing that he's doing stuff, but not actually seeing him do it.
Right.
And that constant buildup of watching the batteries drop out of the box, picks the batteries up, slowly turns Chucky over, flips it open, his head spins around, he rolls under the couch. Still, but it's like the shark in Jaws when he finally pops out, even though he shows up early in the film. People always think is that Roy Scheider moment. It was when he eats a guy in the estuary. Anyway, it's that constant big build-up, and then when he finally just snaps and it just takes off, and then we're off and running after that. And there's nothing laughable about what's going on. It's only funny unintentionally, like when Brad Dourif is talking. He says it hurt like a son of a bitch. It even bled. You know, just his anger in the character is what makes him funny. But he's not trying to be funny.
Right, and I think it's what Nathan said earlier. I mean, which he can expand upon when Nathan was saying just the execs, whoever are writing them. You know, you never know what kind of direction or what's in their head when they start making these sequels and why they might turn it into a more comic thing instead of a horror thing. But I didn't ask you, Nathan, how old were you when you did see Child's Play for the first time?
Actually, the first time I saw Child's Play 2 first. That was I saw that one first, and then honestly, Child's Play I didn't watch until probably when I caught it on TV in the mid '90s. So I guess that's why he didn't really scare me.
Oh, as wow!
Much. Yeah, yeah. Going
you
back,
you never you've never told me that.
Yeah, well, I just we never really talked about him that much, which is kind of funny thinking about it now, because I remember when we watched that movie together for the first time. And you were at my house, like, I don't know. We just didn't, he never really came up that much.
Yeah, it was more about, you know, Freddy and Michael Myers and Jason, I guess, for the most part.
Yeah, but I feel like, too, going back to the exec thing, I feel like during the 80s, they were just like, all right, it's a horror movie, give it a little bit of money. And then once it got legs, that's when they're like, oh, okay, here we go. Let's milk it for all it's worth. And that's where we got the decline.
Yeah, when they want to milk, and that's when they start making it, brighten it up for the kids, to quote Jack Nicholson there. Because, come part three, you know, even though part is, well, I'll save that when we get down to part three. But part one, it's still such a legendary first film because it's, everybody's so believable. The story's believable, you know. I mean, even though it does the cliches of what a horror movie does, like you can't keep killing him, he keeps coming back, his body's charred, and he's still coming, he's blown to pieces, still coming. But it's, even how the movie ends, with that shot of Alex Vincent closing the door and he stops, it's like to emphasize that this is not going to end well for this child. This boy's going to be traumatized for life. It's not a happy ending for anybody.
Yeah. And going back to Alex Vincent, when Joe was talking about how believable he was, like the disappointment on his face at the beginning when he thinks
that
he's
going to get the doll. Yes, because every kid can relate to that. I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I feel like him, Corey Feldman, and then I can't remember his name, but the kid that was in Cujo, or probably three.
Yeah, he was in Who's the Boss?
Yeah. I feel like those three were probably the most believable child actors in horror films in the 80s, at least. To me, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they were all, I mean, all three of them were extremely good. I mean, to emphasize Alex's performance, too, like in the scene where he's been taken to that sanitarium and he's in his room and he looks across to the other side. This still, it's just, this me and my brother used to talk about how creepy this scene was. When he looks out the window and sees Chucky climbing up the stairs in the other building across the street, and he's moving so fast. I mean, obviously, it's I think Ed Gale in the suit going up the stairs, I think. But to see Chucky is coming, and you see him coming from far away, and you see it going up a further, and then Alex starts crying there in the floor. Like, I mean, just, I mean, you felt so. I'm glad I didn't see that part as a little guy, because that would have really scared the hell out of me. Because me and my brother just both looked at each other like, well, that was creepy as hell, man. It's just weird. And then you see Chucky's face come into frame as he's looking through the window. And gosh, it's such an effective movie. And the plus the addition of voodoo into it also.
Yeah.
You know, the dark arts and things like that adds an extra level of evil to it. Even though his teacher didn't seem to be as evil, he's clearly, you know, practicing, you know, possible witchcraft, devil worship, you know, that kind of stuff, possibly. But he seems so upset with Chucky's, with what Charles did with this power, transferring his body to the soul, and he calls him a perversion against nature and things like that. So it kind of makes you wonder, you know, what exactly was his, the witch doctor's, what's the word? I mean, what is his whole approach with using this transferring your soul power? You know, what do you need it for? If it's obviously to keep you from dying and transferring your soul to someone else so you can continue on, but kind of makes you wonder, because he calls Chucky, you know, an outrage against nature.
Yeah, and how the whole story, like you said, what an original thing to have in a story, that now he has to find a new body and he can only transfer his soul into the first person he shares a secret with or whatever, so he's going to be reborn into Andy.
Do you guys find that to be a bit ham-fisted, or do you guys think that that's a rule that you feel like is cool?
I like that. That's what made it even more panicked for this poor kid of what he's trying to do to the kid and his obsession. I'm trying to get to Andy and then trying to find him in the second one. I mean, the story wrote itself. I mean, it had a unique purpose of what he is trying to do, his goal. You usually didn't see that in something else, which, you know, will lead to something else later. But yeah, that's what I liked, is this was part, that was the story. I mean, that was the main part of the story. It's him wanting to do Adadui, Dembella, or whatever he says. I mean, you try to chant it, but, you know, every time he did, it's like, oh my God, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? It's almost like, you know, like this is his time to transform. So you're waiting. Is it going to happen? And of course it didn't. And he tried it in the next one and it didn't. But that's why.
And it gives you a nice loophole for the third film when we get into it. Like that basically opens up the story for that. It's like, oh, wait a minute. I'm new again. I can transfer myself into someone else and it doesn't have to be Andy.
Exactly, and that's what was cool, is you're right, he had a new body, and now it doesn't matter. He doesn't need to get Andy, he can get somebody else he wants to. But, yeah, then, so the first one, I mean, like I said, it from beginning to end, I loved every piece of it, and then here came the second. The second one, I loved it almost as much as the first one. I didn't hate it. I didn't hate nothing. It's just, I still enjoyed the first one more, and I found it interesting, Nathan, of, like, your experience. Like, you said you seen the second one first, or which one did you see first?
Yeah, I saw the second one first when it came out on video. Do you guys just want me to go ahead and tell the story now?
Let's hear it. We've been hyping it up here. Let's hear it.
All right, so Tyler's heard this story, and Brad Dourif, the voice of Chucky, has heard this story, and he thought my dad was pretty messed up for what he did. But So to put it in perspective, it was probably like a fall night, and I was going over to my neighbor's house to hang out with my friend and his older brother, and I think he invited a few friends. And they rented some horror films, and one of them was Child's Play 2. So by the time that I got down there, the movie was already going. They were probably about 15 minutes in. And the space between the houses is probably about a good, I'd say about a football field apart from one another.
Oh, wow, okay.
So by the time the movie's over, it's probably about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I think the VHS, if I'm looking at it right, I'm kind of cheating a little bit, came out in 91. So that by the time I watched it, I would have been 7. Yeah. So 7-year-old, 10 o'clock at night, it's dark, I'm walking back up to my house, all the lights are off. Open the door, go inside, and like our kitchen is right there, and I turn the light on and I see the back of my dad's head, and he's like sitting in like one of these rolly chairs, because that's what we had, where we're just like spinning around.
Okay.
And I'm like, Dad? And he spins around real quick, and he's got a knife in his hand, and he's like, Chucky's here. Out the door. Terrifying. Terrifying. My mom was so pissed at him for doing that. And anytime we talk about it, he's still just as, you just see his face light up just as much as it did that night.
Oh my goodness.
I don't even think he ever apologized for it either.
There's no
probably not.
That's classic. I'm glad he didn't. That's oh my God, to do it, this 7-year-old son to scare the living shit out of him. Oh my God. Oh, I can't imagine to see you come in and you see him turn around with a knife and you're gone out. That is fantastic.
And just the look on his face too. Like he just had that like wide eye, like smile. And I'm just like, oh. But I told Brad Dourif that, and he looks at me and he's just like, man, that's pretty fucked up. And I'm like, I don't know, it's kind of awesome that I got to tell him that story at least. But
that is pretty cool. Oh my God, that's the best thing I've heard.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus.
If you knew Nathan's dad too, it wouldn't be far fetched, because his demeanor is so quiet, but he just takes great joy in Nathan's displeasure for so many things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's become a staple in his family at Christmas time that Nathan's dad will always get him a really shitty movie, you know, like Ghost Rider, a Vin Diesel movie, you know, just some sort of god awful movie that Nathan has to open up at Christmas every year just to see his dad, you know, laugh, you know, maniacally at his son for opening up a horrible, horrible present.
God, I thought I did some rotten things to people when I was scaring them growing up.
Hey, I never did that to my brother. I don't know if that. I think Nathan's dad's story about scaring him is definitely a lot worse than leaving my brother for the dogs or leaving him for Freddy Krueger to grab in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that I think that might top it. That then yeah. that
I never did that to my brother. It was more about survival as opposed to trying to scare my brother.
Right. No, that's a good story. It's just, yeah, the reason I was curious about, you know, like how, which one he seen first, because he said then when he went back and seen the first one, it kind of didn't scare him as much. Hell, maybe it's because he was scared in real life by his dad, so nothing topped that. But yeah. Even if it wasn't that, you know, it's like one of my nephews. His first experience was, I think it was Freddy's Dead, the final nightmare or something. I think that was his first experience into Nightmare on Elm Street. So when he went back and see the first one, it was doing nothing for him. Even though to us, we can see the different look and how ugly and frightening, how scary that movie is. He already had the humorous Freddy in his head. That was it. Freddy was completely funny to him. So even when he seen the first one, he would kind of try to laugh at some parts. And when the other parts weren't funny, he wasn't scared at all. I was like, oh man, why did his first experience have to be part 6? Out of the whole series, why did it have to be part 6?
Hell, the trailer for part 6 used to scare the piss out of me as a kid. Looking at it, and I'm like, how the hell was I scared of this god-awful trailer?
Yeah.
I mean, it was attached to Alligator 2, the mutation, and I remember just dreading sitting through this commercial. Instead of fast-forwarding it, like, you know, the moron that I was, you know, I would sit through it and dread going to bed that night all over that. I mean, like him saying every town has an Elm Street. Him dressed up as the Wicked Witch was like, ah, this is scary as hell. You know, I'm like, man, this is the dumbest stuff the guy could possibly go through. And boy, that stuff scared me so bad as a kid.
Yeah, shoot. So what about Child's Play 2, Tyler? What about you and your thoughts of it?
Oh, I love Child's Play 2. I love that film. And I think we saw it probably around fifth or sixth grade. We started renting a few horror movies. And I almost want to say I saw 2 and 3 relatively close together on VHS. I remember seeing the trailer for 3 in the theaters and seeing the standee for Child's Play 2 in the local video store. And, of course, that time I was scared to death of Chucky at that time. But I can't really pinpoint exactly when I saw it for the first – I think it was on the USA Network, I think. Because USA – I mean, because Universal made the films, you know, that tie-in with USA. But I think it was on the USA Network, and I just thought it was a lot of fun to watch. I didn't find Chucky to be scary, but it's a fun horror movie. Like I could pop it on right now, and I watched it earlier this summer, and I mean, it still holds up. I mean, all the actors are good. Janny Agutter looking all hot as a foster mom in it. You know, from American Werewolf in London. You got that jerk off foster dad who was idiot teacher from Sidekicks. He was always picking on Jonathan Brandis. He plays a douche in everything he's in. And of course, Alex Vincent is back. And I remember me and Nathan met Brad Dourif and Alex Vincent at the same convention. I asked Alex, I said, "What can you tell me something that that you kind of improvised on the film?" And he said that joke that he says, "I can say your name backwards." And he turns around and says, "Kyle." You know, he said that was just a joke that he decided just to do right there on the spot. And I was like, oh, that's so cool, because I always thought, I mean, today it's still a cute joke. And that was cool to know that was just something he kind of threw in as a kid. But it's a fun movie. Chucky's a blast to watch in it. It's a lot of good fun tension in it. And I feel like that's a it's definitely not scary, but it still stays because it's within the horror realm of serious material. I think you could show that to somebody who saw the first one. I think they would still enjoy the second one. I mean, it's definitely. I probably got to give Tom Holland the credit for why the first one's so scary, because he made Fright Night as well. Not to take away from it, I can't place the guy who directed the second one, but it's not scary, but it's still fun, but it's still taking it seriously. Like, there's nothing, you know, it's just stuff that's not intentionally funny. Like when Kyle's chasing after Alex and Chucky towards the end of the movie, and she runs into that trucker, and he grabs a hold of her and goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Crazy bitch!" I mean, it's not supposed to be funny, but I laugh my ass off when I see it. And it's the same guy that Arnold's breaks the guy's neck in Commando. It's that same guy that's screaming at Kyle, calling her a crazy bitch. You can even look up on YouTube, Child's Play 2, Crazy Bitch, and that clip of him just yelling that at her is on YouTube. It's hilarious.
I think, like, I don't know how you guys feel about it. I love Child's Play 2 just as much. Like, as the first one. And to me, I kind of look at it as like Halloween 2 to Halloween 1. You know, it's not as good as that one, but it's like just the perfect continuation of that story.
Yeah. They I think Don Mancini, I think who wrote or has done all the Chucky films, at least wrote them, I think directed some of the later ones. I mean, he did made it. I love how I could really appreciate the conscious effort he made of connecting the first three films, especially. You know, I mean, where they're all connected to Andy and essentially falling out, because that second film, I think it's supposed to take place only about a year or two after the events of the first film. Like, it doesn't seem like it was that long. You know, because obviously Alex. No. I mean, even though the movies were only made a few years apart, but it really, story wise, it doesn't look like it takes too far away from the first film. You know, to where, and it's a shame that Catherine Hicks didn't come back for the second one, because I think they wanted her to come back for it, but I don't think they. I don't remember the reasons why she wasn't. It's a shame she wasn't in it, but I guess it. I still like the story that's given with Andy living in a foster family and Chucky sinking him out. I mean, let me ask you this. Do you guys have any faults with Child's Play 2? Like, when you watch it or think about it, do you think, I don't like that, or that could be done better, or anything like that?
No, I
from the attack, from the finale in the toy factory, to the killing of the school teacher, to, you know, chaos in the house, like when he's got Andy tied up. I mean, is there any faults in the film?
No, I couldn't think of any faults. Like I said, I mean, the first one, yes, it's just it's scarier. The second one still has suspense to it and a little more humor and isn't as scary, but it's still, nonetheless, it's not any worse. I mean, it's not one that I would say was flawed in my opinion. I mean, like a couple parts, like wasn't there the part where like there was the other doll, remember? And then remember how it was buried out in the yard, the whole part when it was uncovered. I mean, there's good moments that when you've seen it happen, and you did want to see his foster dad. You were waiting for that guy to get killed.
God, man, that guy makes a career out of playing douchebags.
That's, I mean, this,
you know, you're just thinking, how the hell is Jenny Agutter married to this guy, man?
Yeah. That's what I mean. That was, I guess, at least the first time you were in anticipation of wanting to see somebody die, because in the first Child's Play, I don't remember wanting to see any of those characters get killed. You know,
nobody. Well, except maybe the Doctor. You know, the evil reporter from the Incredible Hulk TV series who played the Doctor, who got like electroshocked to death in the head by Chucky. But even then, you still felt bad, because you know it's not like he was being, you know, he wasn't intentionally being bad, but it's just one of those characters that's always thrown in to, you know, get under the audience's skin because he doesn't believe the protagonist of the film, and sure enough, they get their comeuppance because they're an idiot by the audience standards. Nobody in that first film, you know, well, maybe the bomb that sold her the toy in the back alley, you know, because he tried to rape her.
But I
liked that addition of the kind of underground aspect of how she got the doll, and that, you know, from a peddler in a back alley who found it, I mean, it's just that those are extra little elements that was a nice touch to that, and there's extra touches to this too from a personal standpoint, like Andy trying to come to terms that he's gonna, that they have a good guy doll in their house. Freaks him out at first, and he walks over to it. Of course, it's really Chucky, and decides, I'm going to get over this. I'm going to work, and he grabs a hold of the doll and carries it with him. It's a nice character moment for him to say, I'm going to try and get through this. Sure enough, ends up biting him in the ass, but it's just fun that they took time to make it look like this character's trying to grow. And it's just a child, and it was nice extra touch.
It definitely had a pretty grossed-out part towards the end. Remember when, you know, Chucky went through that whole toy thing, conveyor belt, all in different spots. I mean, that was nasty. When he got, you know, all shot up and blown or to pieces or whatever, it was gross. I mean, that was, I'll admit, that was a nasty little part to see what happened to Chucky at the end of part two.
Or him putting his cut-off hand on that knife, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, because the puppeteers and Brad Dourif do a good job of making Chucky sell the pain that he's going through of putting this knife and then taping it off and saying, I hate kids. And it's just, It was a very, very cool look for Chucky to have that knife on his hand. And the way he was walking, like when he's walking down the conveyor belt looking at Chucky, oh, just the puppeteer work was so good in those first two films. I mean, well, for most of the Chucky films for that matter, but it's such a great sequel. And I'm so glad we're talking about it, because it's just one of those films that I think by horror fans probably universally like in the Child's Play series, but you don't hear a lot of discussion, you know, openly about. I'm sure there is in forums and stuff like that, but there's no retrospects on the sequels or anything like that. I mean, I'd love to know more about the sequels, what they'd planned to do and what they wanted to do but couldn't do and things like that. And I mean, it's doesn't really, I mean, it leaves it pretty finite too, as if like that could have been the last one, because they don't go back and show you like a wink from Chucky or that his finger moves or something. It's like, no, when it ends, he's blown up and, you know, they leave the toy factory and that's it. So that very well could have been the last one.
Yeah, and it was a good lead to part three. I like how they did part three, how it opened up with that big old hunk of nastiness going over it, and then a little, what was it, a drop of blood went into that.
Yeah, they got the liquid plastic in there and stuff like that. Yeah. Right, it's picking up right in that old toy factory.
Yeah, and it'll lead to basically Nathan, because you can start off, because like we said, it was always about Andy, the soul having to go to Andy, but now part three, we got a whole new reason, and that's why. So what'd you think of three, Nathan?
Three to me, like, definitely not as good as the first two, but still just as fun. Like the whole military school aspect, the greedy execs that are like, well, you know, this toy outsold everything else 2-1, and it's still a strong seller. We should bring it back. And they, you know, you see the factory, and there's all the cobwebs and everything. And I don't know, I love the beginning, just seeing that old CEO guy like just bite it.
Oh yeah,
it's like one of my, and it leads to one of the best one-liners for me.
I think anyway. I know the one you're gonna say too. Let's go ahead and hear it anyway.
Where, you know, he just kills him. He's just like, don't fuck with the Chuck, and I'm just like, it's so dumb, but at the same time, it's great.
But the way Brad Dourif says it makes it sound cool. Yes, it would be so silly in anybody else saying it, but Brad Dourif is taking it serious,
right? Yeah, and I guess that's the good thing too about all these films is just, you know, he could have just collected a paycheck, but even now, he's still at least putting that effort into the character. At least I think. I don't know how Joe's going to feel when we get to the later sequel. But, man, part three, just everything. There's unlikable characters, and, like, you're rooting for Andy anyway, and he's at a point now where he's just like, you're not going to believe me. So what? I'll just take matters into my own hands because I'm older now. But that drill sergeant, Tyler, what's his name? Yes. It's so good when he finally bites.
He's a great prick, though, in the movie. Like he is. Yeah.
He is, but I love the fact that Chucky goes out of his way to replace the ammo in the gun. I know I'm kind of jumping way ahead to the end here, but that's just, you couldn't get away with that these days. There'd be someone that's like, oh, we can't do this. Oh, no. We can't have kids killing kids.
Yeah. But it shows you that Chucky's, that Charles Array is such an evil guy that he's going to stop his main mission to, I mean, really just blow this whole school away by filling the paintball rifles with live ammo and just sit back and watch them all kill each other just for fun. Has nothing to do with trying to get Tyler alone to take to swap souls, but just him being an evil son of a bitch.
Yeah, because they had a lot of people that you wanted to see get killed in Child's Play 3. I mean, from, you know, like you said, the idiot punk that was picking on, you know, Andy the whole time, you know, the tough guy. And then, of course, you know, when you see Chucky, remember, he's going to get his hair cut. He's going to get his
Scorpio hair. From Dirty Harry. Yeah.
Man, like, it's so creepy that he's just got pictures of kids and their haircuts just hanging all on the wall. That's like another little side thing. I'm like, well, that's just, I don't know. It's one of those things that just comes and goes, and you're like, wait a minute. That's a little underlying weirdness.
See, I've noticed that every time I watch it, but I've never thought anything of it. Because I feel like it's like one of those things when you go to like a a doctor's office or something like that. They've always got pictures of their patients, like of the kids, like in a pediatrician's office or a dentist's office.
Maybe
or something
different
like
hairstyles
that.
To look at. Like, you want that style?
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, but Nathan's got a point that all the kids are wearing the same hairstyle. Like, you know, what is the point, I mean, of doing that? Because he's shaving the head of all the older kids as well as the youngsters, too. So kind of makes you wonder what is – but he's such a twisted guy anyway. And that, the actor who plays him, he was in Hellraiser and Cobra and Dirty Harry. He does such a great job of playing such a twisted barber. You know, that he should have been Sweeney Todd.
You know? Yeah, and then also, like, see when the old guy just had the heart attack when he seen Chucky.
Yeah.
What did he say? I can't remember. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? Or what did he
yeah,
say?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He says that, yeah.
Just
he got that lipstick smeared on his face.
Because he's getting ready to do it, and then the dude, he just has a heart attack. What? Well, oh, all right. You made this easier for me.
Didn't need him to do it. You're right. That was so cool. And then what you were saying earlier, because in this movie now, he's no longer going after Andy. Now he's got a new buddy. Like you said, he's got Tyler. Or he's got him that he's going after. See, going after him. But no, he's got the new kid that he's going to take over. And, well, of course, that didn't happen either. It didn't go through. But no, this one started to bring up extra, maybe more one-liners. Definitely a lot of them. A lot more to where it doesn't seem as scary, but there's some parts that freaked you out. Like you said, when he put live ammo, it's like, oh my God, there's live rounds in these guns. This ain't paintball. This, they're going to be shooting and lighting some people up. So that was pretty wicked out of all things to have something different. So they did. They had a lot of shock value into that.
And they're still taking the sequel seriously, regardless of, you know, Chucky's got, I mean, one-liners and stuff like that, but the material is not by any means, you know, silly stuff. I mean, it's
right. That's what I mean. They did.
Still, there's still like that darkness to it.
Yeah,
and that's what was good, because, like I said, I mean, sure, there's nothing wrong. You can laugh at stuff, but I mean, they did take it serious, and like you said, it felt like, I mean, those three just all connected. So I mean, it is
a solid trilogy. I mean, you could really, you know, and I actually went back and rewatched Child's Play 3 today. I hadn't watched it in a while. I mean, I liked it, but I always would say that's where the decrease in quality starts. And really, I got to take it back. I mean, there's the acting's fine in it. The guy that plays Andy, and I always think of him from Dungeons and Dragons. That movie sucked so bad. So I always associate him with Dungeons and Dragons.
No, it's not bad. It's just, you know,
what?
This is...
Oh, I thought. You're talking about Dungeons and Dragons or Child's Play 3?
No, talking about Child's Play 3.
Oh, okay.
I kind of walked
out of that movie.
No, I rank them pretty much just like how I've seen them on 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, that's how I like it. I like 1, 2, 3. But then when we hit Ride of Chucky, that's it. It was just, here we go. Everything's out the window. Now you are just having pure silliness. I no longer was having any suspense. Fear, afraid, scared of nothing. It's just like, this is just a laugh fest. From that to that godforsaken Seed of Chucky. Oh my God, Seed of Chucky. But no, as for Bride of Chucky, it's just like, you know, they were starting to spoof even other parts of horror movies. You know, at the scene where, you know, John Ritter, you know, gets the nails in the face, and, you know, he sits up like that, and Chucky said, why does that look familiar? Or something like that. And, of course, he's making a reference to Pinhead from Hellraiser. It's like, okay, now you're starting to acknowledge other kind of franchises. Too many jokes. You got Tiffany, and now she's going to become, you know, the Bride of Chucky. And I don't know. Don't get me wrong. It's a good, I guess, popcorn movie. You just want to have fun. You want to laugh. Just put on something for Halloween for fun. But by no means was I ever scared watching that movie. I mean, at no point. I don't know about you, Nathan, but I had no fear in Bride of Chucky. It wasn't, like I say, just a complete bomb of crap, but it sure didn't feel like the other three.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, it's not awful, and like you said, it's a good popcorn, put something light and fun on during the Halloween season, but, I mean, yeah, definitely not scary. I feel like probably a product of just that late 90s horror film, you know, like there's a lot of influence there. Honestly, I haven't watched that movie probably in like 15 years.
Oh, really?
I remember liking the soundtrack a lot, but that's kind of
had Living Dead Girl on the soundtrack.
Yeah. But I mean, it, that is what it is. I think it just, oh, hey, we haven't had a new movie in what, at this point, because that came out in 98?
I think it was it came out the same year as Blade and Vampires, I think, which would have been 98 or 99.
Yeah, somewhere around. I just imagine, like, well, you know, here's this property. Let's bring it back.
Yeah.
Kids will like it. Let's make them funny. It'll make money because people are just like, oh, hey, Chucky's back now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and unfortunately from that, then when you get Seed, it's like a lot of people were really, they lost interest because they felt like that one was, while it was funny, it felt nothing like the others. It wasn't taken seriously. I mean, you're having Chucky, for God's sakes, having sex, you know, in Bride of Chucky. And of course, as you see at the end, there's the little baby they give birth to. So then everybody's wondering, oh, is there going to make another one? And yes, then we got Seed of Chucky, which you have Glenn or Glenda or whatever, because he doesn't know if he's a boy or a girl, and he thinks that his father is from Japan because he sees Japan, made in Japan or something, somewhere on
Okay, so it sounds like the whole Ed Wood thing, because I haven't seen Seed of Chucky. But when you say Glenn or Glenda, that's the Ed Wood film, you know, where he's playing a guy that's dressing like a woman, and you don't know whether it's a guy or a woman. So,
I've heard other people sometimes say, you know, hey, I still kind of enjoy this kind of funny, but I have never really seen many people like Seed of Chucky. Maybe there is, and if they liked it, good. But like when I did that post the other day, I barely seen anybody that acknowledged it. They're like, oh yeah, Seed of Chucky was bad. It was bad. It was just over the top. It was too stupid.
It didn't stay in theaters long in our era. Like, cause I remember when me and Nathan would go out toy shop, we'd see like stuff for Seed of Chucky, like in Spencer's Gifts and stuff like that. And I swear the movie was in and out of theaters so quick in our area. I mean,
it was bad. You know, that's what sucks, because they went from one extreme of Bride to then Seed, which was a super extreme of silliness. Then who wants to take anything from Chucky seriously? If they say, hey, we'll make another, studios are probably like, I don't want to touch that. So we had to wait years and years and years later for it to come on to DVD when you got Curse of Chucky, which was pretty damn good. They wouldn't have it in the theaters. Now, that's something that could have been in theaters, but I at least got to get your, you know, quick opinions, Nathan, on, you know, Bride and Seed. I can't remember if I asked you on Bride, but I'm curious what you thought of at least those two together.
You just asked him.
Well, we didn't talk about Seed. I mean, Bride, fun popcorn film, something like Seed, I never watched. Never watched Seed, didn't have any interest in seeing Seed, but I might jump on that grenade like What's-His-Face did in Part 3.
Yeah, Whitehurst, yeah. I can picture that, too.
Yeah, if you've seen the others, you've seen, you know, which we'll mention, Curse and Cult, you've seen all the rest. I mean, you might as well see it just to say you did, but...
Yeah.
Seed was bad. I mean, I won't even go more in depth because, not that I'd ruin it because it's just a bad movie, but you might as well see a lot of this nonsense already, you know, after at least when you hear me about this whole thing made in Japan. Trust me, when you see it, it's bad. But when they did Curse, I was like, now that felt cool. That felt
Curse was a good return to form. It felt like a good fit in there with like Child's Play 1 and Child's Play 2 in terms of like the tone and what they were trying to do with it. And
because they even tied it in, right? They tied it into like the first one.
Yeah. And just even the main character that, you know, she's in a wheelchair. Like that adds this whole other element because, you know, like she's going to be the one that he's coming after at some point. And it just, I don't know, it makes it interesting. And you're just in this house the whole time, more or less.
And did really you like his, like how he was... It seemed like they're trying to make it kind of similar to, you know, the original Child's Play movies. And plus, at least the feel and atmosphere of it, the atmosphere was closer to that as well. It didn't, you know, you were in suspense of wondering when something going to happen because it wasn't the whole slapstick of Bride and especially Seed of Chucky.
No, it had like a really good buildup. It took its time. Like, you know that it's coming after you've seen all these films, but still it was just a nice, like, oh, hey, someone is going to take this character and just kind of like treat him seriously because he needed to at that point. There's been I kind of feel like the time with Bride and Seed and the time that passed in between there, the opinion of Chucky, like it did shift there, and they needed to bring him back. So I'm glad that they did it. I don't think it would have done that well had it been released theatrically because the interest with the character was with how quick Seed just zoomed out of theater. I just don't think the interest was there, but you find that niche market on DVD and Blu-ray, and you know, the fans of the character be like, oh yeah, okay. And then the word of mouth spreads. It's like, oh, you know what? It's actually pretty good. It's a good return to form for the character. So I really liked it.
Yeah, and I think you're right. See, and I mean, I completely agree with you. That's what upset me so much about how, you know, Bride was already starting to really just completely tarnish, in my opinion, Chucky in general as being a serious character. But Seed just really just, it left such a horrible taste in everybody's mouth that now everybody's just thinking Chucky is just the joke character. They're forgetting about how he was in part one, two, or three, especially part one. But like you said, when they're going to say, hey, we're going to make a Curse of Chucky, well, Studio's like, I don't know if we want to back this. And it's a shame because Seed did that. If Seed didn't wreck it, I wondered what could have been like if they said, you know, going back to the old formula or, you know, doing some crazy-ass preview like they always do to make it feel like it was the first one. You wondered how could it have done at theaters, but we'll never know. And, of course, then we get right to Curse, which for people who haven't seen the, I mean, sorry, Cult of Chucky. If you haven't seen Cult of Chucky, that just popped up on Netflix. I guess it doesn't have the extra minute that's on Blu-ray DVD that's at the end. There's like a pop after the credit thing. But for those who haven't seen it, you can see it on Netflix if you want to waste an hour and a half.
Hey, and to bring that up too, Curse of Chucky, I think, is actually on Netflix as well. So if you want to do a double feature and take that chance, you know, that one's on there as well.
Yep, Curse is up there too. So you're right. They could start, like, if you guys have never seen Curse yet, go ahead and watch Curse. And you'd be like, damn, that was kind of like the old Chucky's. And then when you put in Cult, you'd be like, what just happened? If this is trying to follow kind of what just happened in Curse, how did you go from almost being serious like the originals to then basically it felt like going right back to the other one? It went back to Bride and Seed with some of the nonsense. Did they have some scary kind of parts? I guess. I don't know. Maybe. But no, it's just they then take away the whole thing, the whole purpose of what we were talking about, the whole thing about transferring your soul from one person to another that you told the secret. This is what pissed me off in the movie of Cult. I thought somewhere in the movie, Chucky mentioned something like, yeah, I Googled like a Cult for Dummies or something. Like he Googled something did about looking for, you know, transferring souls for dummies. Something to that effect. I'm probably saying it wrong. But what it means is, really? This whole thing that was so, you know, like suspenseful in the other movies about, is he going to get that little shit? Is he going to get Andy? And then eventually, is he going to get Tyler? And is he going to, you know, be in a real body? Now it's like thrown out the window. He can transfer his soul into this doll, into this doll, into this person, into this person. It's like jumping everywhere. And that's why it's the Cult of Chucky, because he can put his soul in there. Everybody's like, oh, come on now. You just spit in our face. You know, especially what we were expecting in all the original Child's Play movies. Now you take that important part of the whole movie itself, that factor, and it's like, it's just dismissed as nothing. Yeah, I'll throw my soul in anything, you know, anything. I hated that. Yeah. That's what really annoyed me the most about Cult.
It's, when it started, I'm like, all right, you know, this is the proper direction it's going into. And, you know, we kind of spoiled it a little bit with him transferring his souls into other dolls and people. But, like, at the beginning, with the way that Curse ended going into that, I'm like, all right, you know, I'm into this. But then once it started doing that, it's like, it takes the, it's almost like they sat down. They're like, you know what? The stuff from Halloween 6 and Jason Goes to Hell, let's toss some of that in there. And, oh, let's just bring some of these other characters back and just cram it all in here all at once. It became a mess. Like, that last 45 minutes was just a mess. Like, it just keeps happening. It did. Like,
you're right. It got worse and worse. I mean, yeah. It absolutely got worse and worse because I was happy. It's like, hey, Andy's back. And for fans out there who haven't seen it yet, when I say Andy's back, I don't mean just the character Andy. The same actor, isn't that the
boy? Alex Vincent, yeah.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's him. It's like, Andy's back. This is cool. And this is what you get? It's like, damn. What about you, Tyler? Because did you end up watching it when I gave you the link or no?
No, I watched the ball game instead.
Did you really watch the ball game instead? You didn't watch it?
Yeah, I did, because I think when your reaction popped up, I had just started. I was like, nah, I think I'm just going to pass. And then when you went on and started ranting around, like, yeah, I made the right decision just watching a ball game instead of watching Curse or Cult of Chucky. So I still haven't seen the straight to videos. Not that I would. I'm not opposed to seeing Curse. It's just one of those things. I never made it a priority to go pick it up. Now, I mean, Nathan told me a while back that it was, he thought it was pretty good, but it's just not. It's just never made it. But now it's on Netflix. I may have to sit down and watch at least Curse to check out the quality of that.
No,
and
I don't feel like anything. Too. Go ahead and watch Cult 2, Tyler. You'll love it.
No, that's okay.
If we have to suffer through it, you can.
The days of me sitting through deliberately bad movies are behind me. Nathan has taken on that title and carries it over his shoulder like The Rock carries his belt to the ring when he cuts a bad promo. You know, he wears that title proudly of watching endless bad films back to back. You know, I can't do that anymore. I would have to be, Nathan would have to be with me and provide commentary, and we would have to be up at 2 o'clock in the morning to where everything is funny.
Yeah,
you know, I
when I made that post on my wall, when I said, "Oh, I just wasted an hour and a half," and just you seeing,
I've never seen Joe say that about a movie. I don't think I've never heard for Joe to say, come out and say that was a treasured moment. That's not something, because yeah. Joe likes to defend everything. Joe likes to find there's a hidden gem in every bad seed.
I mean, he did like Freddy versus Jason, so.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'll have to talk in depth about that someday, but yes, I do love it. But no, you're right. I usually don't just come out and say I hate something, especially on Facebook, but I was surprised at the reactions, which have continued into today. Yeah, there's a lot of hate for everybody that's seen it. They're agreeing. There's some that like it. They said they like the fun factor, but pretty much the consensus is they all hated The Cult of Chucky. I just hate that, because, you know, I'm always a sucker for wanting to see things return to theater and feel like glory days, you know, because now we see that they're going to be having another Halloween. We just heard that they're going to be maybe doing Nightmare on Elm Street again. And now, that, you know, whoever the hell's been holding onto the Friday the 13th license all these years, who were supposed to give us something, it'll be going back to New Line next year. Maybe New Line will give us another Friday the 13th, because it seems like everybody's trying to get back on, you know, the bandwagon of what things used to be. I'd hope, but I don't know. That's what just sucks. I mean, Chucky's the only other kind of... He is iconic. Sure, he's a doll, but when you think of horror characters, you think of Jason, Michael, Freddy, you do think of Chucky. He's up there. You know, Pinhead, Leatherface, but Chucky's one that pops up in there. You got to admit that. When you think of horror characters, you can't help but think of Chucky. He's iconic.
He's the last of the legacy characters, I think. You know, where Chucky came out the tail end of the 80s, Hellraiser or Pinhead came out in 86, I think. Or 87, 87.
Yeah.
That was it. I mean, I mean, people like Candyman, but I don't think they're going to have Candyman in the same group as Michael, Jason, Freddy, Chucky, and Pinhead. I think that is a group that's like a club on its own, and we'll maybe have an occasional guest, you know, hang out with them here from here and there. But I think Chucky was the last great horror icon. I mean, still to this day, I mean. I think Saw, I'm like, no, Saw does not have the, even though it's obviously a popular franchise.
But he's not a horror character, so yeah, I don't
know. No, he's not. And same thing from you know, the Ghostface killer from the Scream films and stuff like that. It's not, they're not iconic, you know, and that's some, you know, I mean, it doesn't sadden me that we haven't had any more creative horror icons in film, because really, I mean, we've had faceless killers. You kind of feel like that's kind of what you come to see. That's what Leatherface essentially is. That's what Michael and Jason is. They're faceless killers, even though they obviously have a disfigured face underneath there. But there have been killer dolls for years. But, you know, thanks to Brad Dourif's acting, you know, he makes Chucky stand above the all of them. You know, all the killer dolls that are still being made today. It's, I don't even know if there's Annabelle movies. Does she even talk in those films? Or is it just more like a wooden doll that just kind of sits there and stuff happens she's there.
I don't think she talks. From what I've seen, I don't think she talked. I don't believe. Of course, I didn't see all of it. I don't know. I know she's a spinoff of another movie and then had her own movie or two, or I can't remember. I'll be honest.
It's just like, I think Annabelle, if I remember correctly, because I did watch both the Conjuring movies a couple months back, I think she's just like sitting in this room, like kind of their trophy room. And that's all you see. I think there might be a part. I don't remember.
I know there's an Annabelle standalone movie, and I thought maybe even another, but I don't know. I mean, hell, if she's iconic to some new generation, cool. But Yeah, you're right. Chucky's some of the last, you know, memorable ones. You had him, even to some extent. You have Leprechaun, Pumpkinhead. You know, there's others, but
yeah, but they just don't. I mean, of course, come next year, we're approaching Child's Play's 30th anniversary. Come next year, so we're talking 30 years since. Yeah. Of course, Pumpkinhead came out in the 80s as well.
Yeah, it's just, you know, there's different levels of how you look at these
characters. Yeah, Pumpkinhead and Leprechaun, you know, even though Leprechaun is a straight-to-video, you kind of feel like there's that underlying, you know, lack of quality, but the Leprechaun, you know,
all of them in video? I thought the first Leprechaun was at the theater. Really?
Yeah, it was a Vidmark. I think it was released on, you know, through Vidmark Entertainment.
I'll give it to Leprechaun. Like, you know, the first Leprechaun, I just loved the hell out of that, and second one pretty good, and then of course then those got even sillier too. But
The first one's silly, but I mean that's the only Leprechaun film I own is the first one, and I saw two, I enjoyed it. I saw three, four when he went to the was in space. I don't think I made it 20 minutes into that film before my dad, my brother, and myself turned it off, and we never bothered to see in the hood.
And there was no. The hood, and back to the hood. Of course, I have all of them, but
no. You had the one with the Hornswoggle in it too.
Oh, I didn't get that stupid one. That had nothing to do with them. I hated that. That they were like, "Oh, Leprechaun." I was like, "Oh, really? Were they good?" It was like, "This ain't nothing like that. Don't even call this Leprechaun. Get this shit. I mean, just get it out of here. Nobody wants to see that."
I don't think I've ever asked Nathan's, because Nathan, being the wrestling fanatic he is too, having Hornswoggle play Leprechaun.
I mean, the WWE studio films that I try to, like, I watch bad shit, but I will avoid WWE studio films.
There you go.
Yeah, I can't. I can't do those.
I think I just Google searched to see what that Leprechaun looked like. I didn't even watch the movie. I was like, what? This? And when I finally seen a look, I was like, oh, I see where you're going. This is nothing to do with the other Leprechaun, you know, series. So they can keep that crap. So I didn't even entertain wanting to ever rent. I don't even know if it's on Netflix, anything. I never even want to see that Leprechaun. And I unfortunately don't want to see, which I know they're, you know, how the Cult of Chucky ended. I'm sure they have another one planned. It's like, I'm not looking forward to it. If anybody's seen the ending of Cult of Chucky, you'll know what I mean. It's like, what
It's definitely open for a third one, so it's kind of.
I mean, didn't you just hate how it ended? I was like, okay, so what's our anticipation? What are we wanting to expect to see in the next ones? Like, I don't want to see nothing. If you just showed me how that ended, I was like, I can only imagine what the next one, which they're gonna do. You know, they're gonna do it, but.
Because I imagine Cult of Chucky sold pretty well on home video for those that didn't.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Yeah, so
which is funny. Sorry, I keep interrupting you, Joe.
No, go ahead. There's a slight delay with this. Go ahead.
I think it's interesting that with the way that they brought back Chucky, that it's kind of surprising that they haven't gone that same way with Freddy and Jason. I know that it's different studios and they probably look at things differently, but it's kind of surprising that they just didn't do it to maybe see if the market's strong to do another theatrical release.
Well, you know what? I want to say something with that real quick. First, I want to say JSP in the chat room did say, for those who are wondering about Trilogy of Terror, which I mentioned earlier, he said it's available on Amazon Prime if anybody wants to see that. So you could even check that out, Nathan, so you can see Trilogy of Terror for the first time. But when you speak of Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, and when you mention those movies, when the remake, if you will, a reboot, or however you want to say, a Friday the 13th came out in 2009. Was it 2009, I believe?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was a damn good movie, and it did good in the theaters. Out of all the ones, you know, comparing it to that Halloween 2 from Rob Zombie, whatever the hell or something, I mean, he did good. I was like, what is wrong? I don't understand. Why are they not making another? It did not bomb in the theater. It made some money, and it had good reviews. So I was like, you know, people need to quit putting horror in general in the same category, meaning, oh, if Halloween 2 did bad from Rob Zombie, oh, we can't make another Friday the 13th movie. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yes, they're both characters that wear masks and don't talk, but their feel of those movies and their series, it's not even in the same category. They're different. So don't just say because one fails, screw Jason, oh, screw Freddy and all of them. No, they all have their fans. They all have their different storyline. So it just... some are hotter than others, and that Friday the 13th did do well. Now, this next Halloween that comes out, that's going to be basically a supposed direct sequel to Halloween 2, like they're ignoring.
I thought it was a direct sequel to the very first Halloween and not even acknowledging Halloween 2.
No, I thought they were. I thought it was acknowledging 2. I could swear.
I think they're just wiping it clean.
Yeah.
I think it's just a direct sequel to the first one, which...
Oh, they're not even acknowledging 2?
No.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Well, yeah, because, well, at least now knowing that, yeah, they basically are then forgetting, you know, 4, 5, 6, H2O, Resurrection, because some people said, wait a second, I seen Jamie Lee Curtis fall out, you know, or I mean, fall off the roof in part 8, and it's like, no, it's ignoring it. So it'll be interesting to see if they could tell something to where it's a story that would be interesting to keep. I mean, I know I'm going to see it. The only Halloween I almost walked out of was Rob Zombie's Part 2. I was like, why am I even watching this? Why did they make it? And you could see why it bombed at the theater. It was freaking horrible. It was just horrible. So,
I don't know. To me, like, as a horror fan, like, the whole idea of wiping it clean, whatever. But if we're just going to completely ignore everything that happened and bring back a character that was vital to the franchise, like, how was that appealing to someone like me? Like, anyone else other Joe Schmo, it's like, oh, hey, there's new Halloween, whatever, I understand that, but for someone that sat and watched all those films, like, why would you want to even, like, give that the time of day? Because I'm interested to, like, hear your opinion of it, because I just don't, like, I get it, but if you're going to do that, just completely somehow start fresh or find a way to start it from another point. Like, it'll be, I don't know.
No, I know what you're saying.
Because they've screwed up the timeline so much.
Oh, I agree.
With that franchise.
You're right. I mean, I just, like I said, I'm a super Halloween fan, just like I am for Friday the 13th, so I'm always eager for something. And, yes, while I wish it could have been, like you said, whether if they started fresh or if they wanted to continue the storyline of somehow if they could have did it, yes, it could be definitely more appealing to the fans who have always been around. But I know they're always trying to reach, you know, somehow a new group of fans. But it's like, okay, but, you know, it's still acknowledging something from the actual series. It's like, what are you guys trying to say? So I hate when they did that with H2O. That one annoyed me horribly.
Yeah.
Because they ignored 4, 5, 6. And I was like, but 4, 5, 6 was really important. And then when H2O was, when it came out, it wasn't as bloody or gory or scary. It's like they were missing. Something was missing in H2O, which I was like, I'm not feeling it.
It was just like Scream.
Yeah,
it felt like Scream, but now with a supernatural killer. You know, whereas in Scream, oh, it's a little punk in a mask, like, you know, I'll backhand you and knock you out. But it was like Scream, but supernatural. But it's like, eh. And I remember how it ended with the head, you know, getting chopped off. I was like, wait, what? Just like that? Nothing? And then, of course, they tried to tie it into the godforsaken Resurrection, which was garbage.
Yeah.
But we'll have to save Halloween for Halloween. But no, as for Child's Play, like I said, pretty much you wrap it up with Chucky, super iconic, great character in general. The series, while it does have some that maybe are not everybody's favorites, it's still a fun series. I mean, I enjoy 1, 2, 3 more than anything, but if you want a little more, like we always say, popcorn movie, just have fun, sure, throw in the other ones. And if people like those more than the ones we mentioned, hey, that's cool. But I'm always a big fan of the original three, or at least the first three.
Yeah, I'm pretty much just going to kind of label it as a trilogy. Like, Bride of Chucky's not a bad film, but it's probably been, since it came out on VHS, that I've actually sat and watched it from beginning to end. I just never cared. I mean, I had the movie Maniac 2-packs of Tiffany and Chucky, but just it's in my collection. I just have no desire to go back and rewatch it. I'm perfectly content with the three Chucky films that came out from Universal back in the early 90s and late 80s, or in MGM, excuse me. But then again, too, I get there's an audience for stuff who enjoy that kind of stuff, but, you know, like from Seed of Chucky and Bride of Chucky. But I think overall he's a character that's been treated quite well. Aside from, you know, now that Bride of Chucky was completely demoralizing of the character, as what Seed obviously turned into, and where these, you know, Curse and Cult have tried to at least bring it back to a more serious tone, whether they're successful or not is up for opinion. But I don't feel like he's, you know, been smacked around as much as, you know, like those later Freddy sequels were. In my opinion, you know, like Halloween 5 and Halloween 6, I just don't care for those. I know you guys like Part 6. I know Joe likes Part 5.
Can't wait to talk about those. Oh, I can't wait to talk about the Halloweens next week. Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm looking forward to talking about them, but I can tell you this. I'm not going back and rewatching Part 5. I'm not doing it. I have no desire to rewatch that film.
Such a hater. I don't even want to hear nothing else. All I want to hear is Nathan's closing thoughts, because you can't talk bad about Halloween. Go ahead, Nathan.
Any of the Halloween films?
Yeah, we're talking about Halloween films next week, but don't you dare talk bad about Part 5.
All right, Joe.
I'll say this. Child's Play 1 through 3, fantastic. You know, Bride of Chucky, popcorn. We've been discussing that. I would say to those of you that haven't seen Curse or Cult, definitely, especially since they're on Netflix, give those a watch. Cult's heart, I think, is in the right place. It's just executed poorly. It's just a hodgepodge of everything. But Joe says he wasted an hour and a half.
You wasted 30 minutes, maybe, right? You enjoyed the first half hour and hated the last hour.
All right, Nathan, let me ask you this. What was worse, G.I. Joe, the live-action movie, or Curse of Chucky?
Oh, G.I. Joe.
Okay, that's all we have to say.
I think with Cult of Chucky, the idea is, it's the premise to it, the follow-up from Curse is great, but it's just not executed properly.
Right.
It's kind of like they just, I don't know. What do we do? Do this. Okay.
Yeah, towards the end.
But I didn't think it was a colossal waste of time.
Yeah. Started off okay, but then just the last of it just absolutely went downhill, and I didn't even care after that. It just went right downhill towards the end.
Yeah.
So, all right, Tyler. Well, did you want to wrap us up?
I wanted to ask you guys a quick question. There's two movies. Since we're in the Halloween season, I want to ask you, Nathan may have seen one of these movies. I think maybe I mentioned both of them to Nathan. I know Nathan is aware of both of these. Joe, I've never talked to you about these movies, I don't think. All right. What are you guys' thoughts on The Relic and Once Bitten?
The Relic, I don't remember that well, unless you mentioned Once Bitten. Love Once Bitten with Jim Carrey and everything.
Yeah.
Love that damn movie. That's a classic movie. What was the name of that woman?
Lauren Hutton.
Oh, my God. I mean, I like the whole thought of she had to get, what was it, three bites off of him? Or
that movie came along at the time, where puberty was at its highest peak, and to have that movie at my disposal, man, to sympathize with Jim Carrey, like, sleeping with an older woman, and you're so desperate to have sex and stuff. I mean, it was the perfect adolescent movie, man. Gosh.
Yeah. And of course,
I don't know what made me think of that, but I was like, I want to ask you guys about Once Bitten and The Relic. I think I'd like to watch those possibly this weekend.
Yep, love Once Bitten, don't remember Relic. I don't know about Nathan, but I just don't remember The Relic.
Once Bitten for me, I basically watched it in fragments because it used to come on USA all the time,
Yeah, yeah.
I love Once Bitten, and Relic's just diamond in the rough. It's just one of those undiscovered gems for me, because I think you were the one that was like, oh, hey, you need to buy this, you need to check it out, and I watched it, and I was like, it's really well done.
It's a kick-ass movie. Boy, to see that in the theaters when we saw that, oh, boy, it was an absolute blast to see that movie. And that's another one of those movies that I'd never hear anybody talk about The Relic. And Once Bitten, for that matter. That's why I really wanted to get your all's thoughts and toss that out to you guys, just to people who listen to this, if they're fans of Once Bitten and The Relic, you know, let us know. I'd like to know that there's a fan following for both of those movies. Now, I would love to do a commentary for Once Bitten with you guys. That'd be fantastic to do that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that was a great movie. Yeah, I'll have to revisit The Relic, but Yeah, Once Bitten. That would be a fun commentary for that whole movie.
Oh, man, yeah. Lauren Hutt looking all hot and stuff, and then Jim Carrey's girlfriend in high school. Man, there's a lot of hot chicks in that movie, too.
Exactly.
And then Jim Carrey's buddies going to that pickup bar where they're calling people on the phone and stuff like that. I love his two buddies trying to get laid and stuff like that. Oh, that's so funny. Love that movie.
You assume they got lucky at the end with those two female vampires.
Yeah, I wish. I'm like, oh, finally, they got lucky, too, man. It's like, oh, boy, I wish I was in. Vampire or not.
Right. Oh, shoot, so. Awesome. All right, man. Well, Tyler, you might as well tell everybody where to catch us and download us and where to leave comments. Go ahead.
Yeah, all our episodes are on YouTube, of course. Just look up Beyond Retro. Look for Doug Turner because he's the one that posts all of our videos. All three of us are available on Facebook at your disposal if you want to send us messages or thoughts about the podcast or share thoughts about movies and stuff. The Beyond Retro podcast Facebook page, all the episodes are posted on there. Our episodes are available on Podbean to download as well. Our Friday the 13th episode, I don't think is yet to be uploaded, but our previous episodes are all up on Podbean to download, and I post those with every link once they're available, so you can download and listen to them at work or on your drive home and stuff like that. So, but yeah, we're all on Facebook is pretty much our big means of communication and things like that. Messenger as well. We're all available on that. And the Beyond Podcast Facebook page. So please contact us. Let us know what you think. You disagree with us, agree with us, or throw out spitball ideas you want us to talk about on the podcast. Movies will be our big thing on here, but we aim to talk about a variety of stuff from the 80s and early 90s as well. So, Nathan, you got anything to close it out?
No, I think you pretty much nailed everything on the head. With that, if you want to send messages to Tyler and agree with me that the Double Mint Twins and Friday the 13th Part 4 aren't that hot, feel free to shoot him a message.
I'm sure yet, no one has disagreed. No one has agreed with you on that yet so far. So I think it's safe to say.
Eh.
Now they all think either they're all hot or they're all hot, or they may have a favorite like Sam or the Ditzy Virgin. But no one to disagree that the Doberman Twins are just hot as hell, man.
Gosh. That's true. All right.
But steam in a man's strides.
There you go. But yeah, it was fun, guys. And next week we're going to be covering Halloween. That's going to be great. Talking about the Halloween series, Michael Myers. That'll be a fun episode. And thank you for everybody that participated in the chat room. And hope you enjoyed this episode. And yes, we'll catch you next week. So be ready for the Halloween series. Catch you guys next time.
Bye. See you guys.